The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Once again, Bet Bash not big enough. Las Vegas not big enough to have both Bet Bash and Kelly Bidlin in town at the same time. Wyatt, so far so good. You all right, man?
So far so good. Knock on wood. I haven't screwed anything up yet.
Oh, you'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty good at screwing
stuff
up.
The day is young.
It is.
The day is. Yeah, you'll be fine. Let's talk some NFL. And we're always pleased when we can have this gentleman on the show. He's been doing this show with me for years. Also, before that, the podcasts of Beating the Book. And of course, Betting Dork before that, which was super generous of him back in the day, in the Betting Dork days especially. He's still doing his almanac, his yearly almanac, but at a new home at FTN. He, of course, is the founder of Football Outsiders. Ladies and gentlemen, pioneer in football analytics. It's Aaron Schatz. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good. It's been an interesting year, but I'm all set, and we're happy to have the book out.
And I just want to let people know you're wearing the blazer because you were on Good Morning Football. You're not doing that for us.
Yes. I figured I might as well just leave it on.
How did it go? Did it go okay?
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. They were excited. They liked my Super Bowl pick. Oh. It was great to do TV.
All right, we'll get to that momentarily. Let me just ask you a macro question first. What I've asked some form of this in years past. I'll ask it again of you because I'm always fascinated. What have you learned through the years doing, not necessarily just the almanac, but, you know, also just analytics on a week-to-week basis that you didn't necessarily know when you started these? And how many years ago was that, Aaron, now?
I've been doing this now for 20 years.
What do you learn now? What have you learned here of late that you think you didn't know before?
Oh, I mean, there's so many things that we learn. I mean, one thing that I learned early on was that I felt like football teams were used more analytics than people gave them credit for back in the day. And then they were kind of slow to like come on with it. So like in the early days, they used more than people thought. And then analytics developed outside of the teams and the teams didn't really come along. And then the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And once the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the analytics movement really exploded in the NFL between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and the next gen stats, the ability to get that data out of the chips and the pads. So we've learned so much in the last few years. You know, some of the methods that have been created about things like expected running yards based on where the blockers appear on the field that give us a better idea.
Jeez.
Than, in fact, all running backs are not interchangeable. There are certain running backs that are better than other running backs. Just the differences are not as large as they are at other positions. But there's always stuff, new stuff to learn.
Are the ones that have been sort of vocal about running back pay this offseason some of the ones that do stand out, by the way?
Yeah, Henry, I think Chubb, obviously. But the ones who are currently free agents are not the ones that have stood out. And that's part of the reason why Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and Dalvin Cook are still free agents.
Interesting. All right. And then on the field, what do you feel like most NFL teams still fundamentally don't get as we enter this season?
They still fundamentally don't understand how good pass offense is now compared to the way it used to be. Teams are still too reticent to go for it on fourth downs, in part because they're afraid of what will happen if they fail, not understanding that the chances of success are higher now than they were 10 and 20 years ago.
Okay. Last year, when we talked about all your simulations to win the Super Bowl, I remember it was sort of an interesting year because you had the Bills winning the Super Bowl in slightly more than 10% of your simulations, which were the worst odds you had ever produced for the team that goes into a season with the highest odds towards winning the whole league. So again, they were your most, but in terms of historically, they were your least of the highest, if that makes sense. What do you got this year? Who's won the most of the simulations?
I have to open the actual simulation thing. What was I going to say? It's more of a normal year this year.
Okay.
Right. So our projections of how many times the top teams are going to win are much closer to what they normally are. And I can tell you that the team we have winning the Super Bowl the most, and this will shock people, is Dallas.
Oh, boy.
15.5%. Now, listen, here's the thing. There's no variable in the system for Mike McCarthy won a power struggle and kicked out his offensive coordinator and took over the offensive play calling. And, you know, we know that his offenses in Green Bay were very stagnant in the last couple of years as far as the route combinations. And I definitely understand where there would be some hesitation. In fact, I will tell you that my personal Super Bowl pick is not Dallas. That being said, people overestimate the importance of a playoff loss when they predict the following year, and they underestimate the importance of 17 games in the regular season. Like, you learn a lot more from a regular season than you do from a playoff game. So Dallas is still one of the top teams in the league. They're very good on both offense and defense, and they do, in fact, come out as our number one team in win projections this year.
Real quick aside before I drill down on that, who is your personal team to win the Super Bowl? Who's your personal pick?
I'm still going with Buffalo. I am riding the Buffalo bandwagon. I feel like one of these years, Josh Allen's going to do it. They're our number one projected team in DVOA. They're our number one projected defense. I know they have a tough schedule, but I just feel like they're going to do it one of these years. And I have them going up against the San Francisco 49ers.
I like that. Okay, so I'm looking at the Almanac. By the way, I was reading through it. It's so entertaining every year again, you know, comparing teams like the Cardinals to the movie Green Lantern. You'll have to get the Almanac to check what that's about. But the quotes of the year are always amusing. You delve into, you explain the analytics in a good way. It's a very readable. A lot of these, you know, pro football preview books aren't so much readable, you know, as this one is. And so I always appreciate that. But let's talk about that Dallas thing, because when you get to your full season win totals projections, you do have Dallas incrementally more. We're talking about tenths of a win, but Dallas at 11.1, San Francisco at 11.1. And while that might, while hearing that Dallas has your highest season win total might be shocking, it's not that far off from their actual season win total. So It's not. It shouldn't be shocking in that way. Kansas City, by the way, 10.9, Buffalo 10.8. Why is it that Dallas, though, let's just get to the crux, the nuts and bolts of why is it? Is it because of the division and the conference that they play in first and foremost?
Well, no, they have an average schedule. So it's not that they have a particularly easy schedule. Yes, it is easier to make the Super Bowl from the NFC than the AFC. That is for sure. That is one of the reasons why, you know, Dallas and San Francisco have more projected wins than Kansas City and Buffalo, because Kansas City and Buffalo have harder schedules. But, you know, this is the team that was number one in our ratings in 2021. They were number six in 2022. They've just been consistently very good, especially when Dak Prescott is healthy. And there's no reason to believe this team is going to fall off significantly. It's not like they lost a bunch of talent. In fact, they added an important piece on each side of the ball in Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. So there's really no reason to believe that Dallas is suddenly going to fall apart. They're one of the top teams in the league. Now, it's interesting because some places you get their win total at 9.5 and some places you get it at 10.5. Obviously, I'd rather bet it at 9.5, but you're going to win less. You know, the odds are not as good.
Okay, I'm actually even more interested than the bottom. So while you have the Cowboys and the Niners, by the way, if you want to bet on these things at a DraftKings, the Cowboys are 11-1 to have the best record in all of football. The Niners are 8-1, just to relate that to a betting number. At the bottom of this season wins chart, this is perhaps even more interesting to me, Aaron, because yes, you do have some of the usual suspects, like, you know, in terms of projecting them under six wins. And I'll do this in reverse order. Indianapolis, 5.9. The Rams, 5.8. Arizona, 5.8. Houston, 5.5. And then I think this will be somewhat surprising to folks. The Bears, who are darlings of some here this offseason, you don't see it that way at FTN. You've got them as the worst at 5.4.
Yeah, I think I saw on Twitter that you were big on the Bears this year.
Oh, I haven't.
We're not.
Not me. Yeah.
No, somebody, maybe you were quoting.
Maybe.
Their defense is terrible. Their defense is terrible. It'll be a little bit better with now that they signed Yannick Ngakoue, but you know that's not included in the book projections. But their offense, look, a lot of it is Justin Fields has been a terrible passer for 2 years. And I know about his rushing ability, and I know that we all want to believe in him turning things around. Here's the wacky thing to me, the Justin Fields MVP talk. Let's imagine that in order to be MVP, Justin Fields has to be an average passer. Like, he's so good running that he only needs to be an average passer. Do you know how many quarterbacks in the last 30 years have been as bad at passer as Justin Fields for 2 years?
Oh, no.
And then above average in the third year? One. Jeff George in 1993. That is it. Sorry, in 40 years, not 30 years. Our numbers go back 40 years. So it is just really rare to be as bad a passer as Justin Fields and get your act together, even though, yes, he has DJ Moore now and the offensive line should be better. And we believe that he has talent and it would be fun. Like, I want to be wrong, but it's just very rare.
The Bears to have the fewest wins in all of football this year, 25-1 at DraftKings. So they're like the 13th team on the board, 25-1. So if you buy into what Aaron is talking about right there, specifically about Justin Fields, 25-1 on the Bears to have the worst record in the National Football League. Fewest wins. Let me be clear about that on the Chicago Bears. We'll come back. So much more to talk about with Aaron for the FTN preview this year, the FTN Almanac, how you can get the Almanac, first of all, and then Coach of the Year thoughts, and the curious case, first of all, his favorite season win total, his favorite prop of the year, and the curious case of a couple teams in the NFC North we want to get into. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Always a treat when Aaron Schatz stops by, the pioneer in football analytics.
The pioneer.
Yeah. Man read Bill James.
I'll give myself a pat on the back.
There you go. You read Bill James as a kid. You're like, no one's doing this for football. I think I'll do it. There it is. There's his life synopsis right there in one sentence. Tell people, if you would, how they can get the FTN Football Almanac 2023.
Right. So it's a little different this year because I've left Football Outsiders. And so the Almanac is with FTN, and you can get that at FTNFantasy.com. Look for the picture of Patrick Mahomes. He's on the cover of the book. Or you can go to NFLAlmanac.com. That will also get you to the page that describes the book. And if you want a sample, there's a sample chapter that is free to download about the Atlanta Falcons. So that's free if you need a sample of the book and what you are getting. It'll be on Amazon soon. Right now, it's the electronic version that's available, the PDF.
Since you bring up the Falcons, let me just go off the sort of range here for a second. A lot of people, this is just anecdotally, you know, we have a lot of people who have, you know, football guests. We have people at this network. A lot of people like the Falcons based on the division. Are you as high on them?
This is my favorite over of the year.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah. We have Atlanta as an average team with a very easy schedule. Both Atlanta and New Orleans are similar. The difference is I think people expect it from New Orleans. They don't expect it from Atlanta. We think their defense is going to improve significantly with all the talent that they've added on defense, like Jesse Bates and Calais Campbell. We have their offense is slightly below average, but I think Ritter, you know, what he showed last year in four games was reasonable. And their schedule is just super easy. And so they average 10.1 wins in our simulation compared to a win total at the markets of 8.5.
All right. Over on 8.5 on the Falcons. What's your favorite under?
My favorite under is probably the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Because they were so bad in our numbers last year. So bad. They were something like 26th in our numbers, despite being 13-4. And then they went out and lost talent this offseason. No more Adam Thielen, no more Za'Darius Smith. I like them to go under 8.5, despite the fact that they were 13-4 last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Almanac right now. So 8.5 is their season win total. You have them at 6.4.
Yeah, 6 point. Is it 6.4 in the Almanac? Yeah. It's bad. Yeah.
Okay. And so, and I guess we should talk about Minnesota then, coupled with Green Bay, because you are high on Green Bay. Their season win total is 7.5. You have them at 9.3. What's behind that specifically?
Yeah, with a little bit more variation, I think. That's why I don't like that one as much as the Atlanta one. But, you know, the expectations for Jordan Love, there's very little record from him, but I think you expect more from a guy who has a couple years of experience in the league than you do from a rookie. And we like the pieces around him, and we like their defense to improve this year. And then I talked again about schedule strength. Atlanta and New Orleans have the easiest schedules by far, but the third easiest schedule belongs to Green Bay, partly because we're not as high on Chicago and Minnesota as other people are. And therefore, we like Green Bay to go over 7.5.
Yeah. And if you buy into what Aaron is saying at 9.3, there's alternate ways, of course, to bet this, to make the playoffs plus 180 or 36% in the market, whereas you have them at 61% to make the postseason.
Yeah, we like them to make the postseason as a wild card. Definitely good chance. I think the plus 180 is nice. Also, that plus 400 on the division. I mean, we do have Detroit as the divisional favorite like everybody does. But again, because we have Minnesota and Chicago much lower than everybody else, that boosts Green Bay.
Do you happen to have your 14 playoff teams on tap right now?
I think I can tell you who they are. Yeah, if I go through, hopefully I don't make a mistake and hit multiple teams in the same
okay.
division, but I believe it would be Dallas and San Francisco, Atlanta, and Dallas, San Francisco, Atlanta. Which division am I leaving out?
Well,
that leaves out the North, which is Detroit.
Yeah.
And then the wild cards would be Philly, New Orleans, and Green Bay.
Okay. So no Seattle in there.
No Seattle in there, although they're the next highest team.
Okay.
And then for the AFC, Kansas City, Buffalo, Cleveland, and Jacksonville, with the wild cards being Cincinnati, the New York Jets, and Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Jets, obviously, since they're the team of the offseason, if you will, ready to embark on Hard Knocks here this week on HBO. So you have them as a wild card. So the most surprising thing in there is that you have the Eagles and the Bengals as wild cards, deferring to the Cowboys and the Browns. Okay.
Yes, but heavier with the Cowboys than the Browns. The Browns and Bengals are very tightly close together in the projection. That's the best division in the league. We have the entire AFC North has an average projection over 9 wins.
What's at play with the Browns, if I might ask?
We like their defense to improve, the talent that they've added. Their offense has been good. Here's the thing. Like, you got to believe in sample size. The fact is, the sample size of the Cleveland offense being good with not such great quarterbacks is 3 years, except the last 6 games of last year. And the sample size of Deshaun Watson being good is like his whole career, except the last 6 games of last year. So what do you believe in more, those huge sample sizes or just the last 6 games of last year? You have to believe more in the larger sample sizes, which is Kevin Stefanski runs a good offense. Deshaun Watson runs a good offense. Now they're working together. This should be a good offense. Also, they have an easier than average schedule.
So the Seahawks of the AFC, if you will, in other words, the team that a lot of people think will make the postseason, the equivalent in the AFC would be the Dolphins, I guess. You don't have them in there.
Yeah, we don't have the Chargers.
Or the Chargers.
Also, we have the Chargers pretty close. The Chargers should be very competitive, but they've got a tough schedule. Miami is interesting. We see their offense declining a little bit, regressing, just because it's just very rare for a quarterback to average over 13 yards per completion in 2 straight years. That's just very rare. And on defense, I think everybody is expecting you bring in Vic Fangio and everything becomes stellar all of a sudden. And that's not actually Vic Fangio's history. He's had a number of teams where he came in and he turned the defense around, but it took time. It didn't happen automatically in the first year.
Okay, coach of the year. You have some thoughts here. People obviously can bet on this.
Yeah, I would say Arthur Smith because of the way I feel about the Atlanta Falcons. My guess is that if Atlanta makes the playoffs or even wins the division, that most of the voters would say, you know, not consider the schedule too much and be like, look at my God, Atlanta won the division. Who would have ever seen that happening? So I like that more than I like Denver to win their division, you know, which would win it for Sean Payton. Obviously, he's at plus 900. Smith is at plus 1400. You know, the favorite is Campbell at plus 850. And I do think Detroit will win their division. So that's probably a good bet, but not a great one because of the odds.
Yeah.
The Belichick at 25-1 is interesting because I find the Patriots are the worst team in that division. But my guess is that their chances of winning the division are more like 6 or 7%. And if they win their division, Belichick will win coach of the year. So coach, he's actually not a bad bet at 25-1 just because it should probably be more like 15-1.
Yeah. If you believe in the Patriots, I can see how the sentiment, the pendulum.
Even if you don't believe, you don't have to believe in the Patriots. You just have to believe that if they did pull it off.
Yeah.
Belichick would easily win the award. And I do think that that is the case.
Yeah. Cause the pendulum on him has swung to somewhat now of the underdog without Tom Brady. So I could see that sentiment, that wave sort of growing. Last thing here, cause we only have 30 seconds left. Was there a stat that you uncovered in doing the Almanac this year that even blew your mind where you're like, I can't believe this is the case. Let me recheck this.
It didn't blow my mind, but I think the most important stat in the Almanac is that Washington and the Jets had top 10 defenses despite not having takeaway. And that means it is much more likely that their defenses will stay good this year, because their defenses will have the takeaways this year that they didn't have last year. And I know you like to hear that about Washington.
I sure do. And of course, they drafted Forbes, who was known for takeaways in college. So hopefully that translates to the pro game. Aaron, always a pleasure. One more time, how they get the Almanac, everybody.
FTNFantasy.com is the new home. It's the FTN Football Almanac 2023. Look for the picture of Patrick Mahomes, $34.99 for the PDF. The Amazon copy will be available in a couple of days for $39.99 for a printed book, but go to ftnfantasy.com for the PDF and the free sample chapter of the Atlanta Falcons.
Congratulations again, Aaron. Appreciate you coming on, man. We'll talk quarter mark of the season. How about that?
Talk to you at the quarter mark. You got it.
My man, Aaron Schatz. Once again, everybody on the show. Wes Reynolds joins us on the other side to talk golf and his most controversial football takes next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football's ready to kick off, and VSiN has everything you need to make this a successful season. Our college football betting guide features best bets from writers and on-air personalities, along with team previews for all 133 FBS teams. Our NFL betting guide will help you tackle the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, that is, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. And get our college football and NFL betting guide. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin. Wyatt, what did Aaron Schatz say there that interested you the most of all that stuff? Because some of that stuff was pretty interesting.
Hates the Bears.
The Bears being the worst.
Likes the Packers.
Yo, you love that.
What do you think?
I thought the Bears having the worst record, which again would be 25-1, fewest wins, that is, in that market. He is not a Justin Fields guy, and historically gave us the reasons why he doesn't see a massive improvement for someone like him. And then the Cowboys and the Browns.
The Cowboys one was surprising. When he said that his model said the Cowboys were the projected Super Bowl favorite or to win the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I could just hear Dave Ross just somewhere here in Vegas, just like someone talked about the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl.
He was excited
for that one.
Most wins as well, along with the Niners. We'll get some football takes from Wes Reynolds. I want to start with golf first, though. Wes Reynolds joins us. I don't know if he's in town or if he's in San Diego chilling. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, Gil. Yeah, I am in lovely San Diego, about to come back to Las Vegas this morning. So caught a little Del Mar this weekend and then the Dodgers-Padres game last night.
Wow, you got a good life. I had the over in that Dodgers-Padres game, which almost didn't get there after a easy peasy start to that. Dodgers end up winning it 8-2, but it barely gets over the 9.5. I want to talk to you about the golf first, which is on the heels of the Wyndham Championship, where Russell Henley had a stroke lead with 3 holes to play, and then he goes bogey, 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 which began with just the worst luck, being in a divot on the fairway at 16. Lucas Glover ends up winning it by 2 strokes over both Henley and Byung-Hun Ahn. Did you have any Glover here?
I had a placement market on him. I didn't have any outright winners, but the placements actually made a little money this weekend. But yeah, Russell Henley, look, he did the same thing to me a couple of years ago when he should have won the tournament. And then he ends up, kind of losing it down the stretch there, and he didn't even make the playoff. If you remember, it was that 6-way playoff that Kevin Kisner won a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Russell Henley, he should have gotten it done here a couple times. I think that's like 4 straight top 10 finishes here. But Lucas Glover, and it's really kind of funny, Gil, because Glover, I believe, had 3 top 6 finishes coming in at the John Deere and at the Barbasol, and I believe at Detroit beforehand. So everybody picks him and bets him last week at the 3M Open. Well, what does he do? Of course, he misses the cut at the 3M Open. And then this week, it's called kind of like always after, right after everybody tips him, that's when you want to get on him. And that certainly figured it out for Glover yesterday.
What was also of note yesterday, of course, was those who failed to qualify for the FedEx Cup, and specifically talking about Justin Thomas and Adam Scott. But on Thomas, you know, he misses by as thin a margin on the chip shot at 18, as thin a margin as he misses the entire FedEx Cup was represented in that shot. What do you equate Thomas's fall here with historically? What leaps to mind for you?
Oh, gosh. It just kind of happens in golf, Gil. And a part of it might be injuries. I certainly did not expect him to not be in the top 70 and kind of be on the borderline for a Ryder Cup spot. And look, you can still make the case for him. It's like he knew what he needed to do. And even though he didn't get it done, he got so close. So that tells you at least that he's a fighter. And I think maybe you want a guy like that on the Ryder Cup team. I don't think a guy has to be in like great form to play well in the Ryder Cup, but we've seen these with good players. You know, Ricky Fowler, his game left him for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't anticipate that's going to be as long for Justin Thomas, but you know, we shall see, see if he takes some time off. Some of these guys may go play a couple of DP World Tour events because they're obviously not eligible for the playoffs. But yeah, I did like what I saw out of him though this weekend. The fact that, you know, he fought when he had to and he was grinding, and you could tell how much he really wanted it yesterday.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of money, the FedEx Cup, that's for sure. It's funny because Ricky Fowler leaps to mind, I guess Jason Day to some extent. I always worry that, you know, whenever this happens, my mind immediately goes to David Duval. And I always probably, I'm like, oh, I hope this is not that again. You don't think that's that in this case?
No, because I think, you know, he's missed a couple cuts, but badly, but it's not like he's missing cuts every week.
Okay.
You know, like kind of what happened to Duval in the mid 2000s, where it's like he is right down there at the bottom of the leaderboard and shooting 80s every round. So I don't think that Justin Thomas is going to get to that point.
Okay. Let's hope not. We enter the 3-legged FedEx Cup here with the FedEx St. Jude this week. How, refresh my memory, how do you bet this? Are you just a tournament by tournament guy? This is obviously quirky. It used to be 120 golfers. Now it is 70. And obviously the third of these events, the Tour Championship, in between is the BMW Championship. But of the Tour Championship, it's that staggered start. So do you end up betting this as a collective? Do you end up betting FedEx to win FedEx Cup markets, or do you not indulge in that?
I pretty much just do tournament by tournament, Gil, and now there's only 3 events because the 70 this week in Memphis, and then you have 50 for the BMW, and then you have the usual final 30 in Atlanta down at East Lake Golf Club for the Tour Championship. So, yeah, the Tour Championship as an event is kind of a funky event to bet because you either have to, if you're betting with the strokes or without the starting strokes market, which is going to be tabulated after these 2 events. So, usually I bet this event by event. You certainly could bet FedEx Cup props and the way that the points are structured right now, but I typically go event by event.
Okay. And we'll listen to long shots this week for your FedEx St. Jude Championship picks, but any hint as to which way you think you might go on this?
Yeah, I just actually took a crack at it this morning. would maybe look at Colin Morikawa in the 30-ish to 1 range. He finished fifth here last year. This event, of course, won by Will Zalatoris, who is still dealing with his injury and out. Basically, I think he might make his debut out at the Las Vegas Invitational out in Summerlin for the fall series, but he will not be defending here. So Colin Morikawa, who played very well here last year. Matthew Fitzpatrick also, three top six finishes and four starts here at TPC Southwind in Memphis. Those were the two that kind of stood out to me at first glance.
Okay, I want to save your college football takes for after the break. Give me your most sort of outlying NFL take for those who have missed it from you.
I'm a little bit lower on the Jacksonville Jaguars than I think a lot of the market is. And I think that Tennessee is just being discounted too much just because they've lost seven in a row. I know the end of the season, but they had arguably the longest list of injuries, I should say, in the National Football League, especially on defense. So I don't think that this team is too far removed from, you know, having a winning season. And I just think everything kind of broke for Jacksonville. So I went under on the Jacksonville win total. I went the Titans on over their win total and also to win the AFC South. And then I also do like the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West, even though the 49ers have gotten good quarterback news, Brock Purdy's health. I worry a little bit about that offensive line, and especially losing Mike McGlinchey, who's now in Denver. So you're looking at this team, and Trent Williams, when's the last time he's been healthy? You're a Commanders fan. So when's the last time he's went a full season, like 10 years ago? So you have really, you know, lack of depth on that offensive line. I think that defense will be dynamite in San Francisco, but I like Seattle to win the division. I think they're absolutely for real. I love what they did in the offseason.
Okay, you may have just preempted my last question because it was going to be a very poor form host trying to incite some guest-on-guest violence. We just had Aaron Schatz on here from the FTN Pro Football Preview, and he did have Seattle out of the playoffs. In other words, he had Seattle not making the playoffs, so maybe that's the answer to this question. I want to figure out, which of these takes do you find the most outlandish of the bunch? Which do you disagree with the most? Seattle, Miami, and the Chargers all missing the playoffs. The Bears having the worst record in all of football, or the fewest wins. The Cowboys and the Niners tied for the most wins in all of football. Or the Browns and or the Cowboys winning their respective divisions, and the Bengals and Eagles ending up as wild cards. Which of those do you find the most outlandish of the bunch?
Probably the first. I think Seattle's going to be in the playoffs. I think the Chargers, the third team, Miami. Miami's kind of a coin flip, so I couldn't really. I'm kind of a hold on that team right now because I need to see a little more out of Tua. Plus, they've had some injuries on defense. They signed Jalen Ramsey, and now he's hurt and won't be back until later in the season. So I would probably say Seattle and the Chargers not making the playoffs would be the most outlandish.
Okay. You don't mind if after the break we delve into the college football guide grid, because we were all asked to do conference ones and twos, or depending if it was split divisions, we would do the top teams in each division. We also had the Final Four, the last year of the Final Four in college football, and then the champion. You don't mind if we get into some of your more controversial takes there, do you, Wes, on the other side?
Sure.
Let's do it. Wes Reynolds. Yes, he has Georgia in the Final Four. Yes, he has Georgia in the national championship. You might be surprised at the other three in the Final Four, and you might be surprised who he has winning it all. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Bet Bash begins tomorrow in town. Do a little weekday Bet Bash. Bet Bash 3 is weekday. whereas Bet Bash 2 was on the weekend last year. So that's a little bit of a different dynamic. Some of us have jobs, Wyatt, you understand. But I will be hosting a panel on Friday, as will Mitch. Mitch Moss is hosting a college football panel on Friday. I'm hosting a traders panel, which is the relationship between bookmaker and bettor. Rob Bazzola will be joining us tomorrow on the show here in studio. He is on the panel for a game. He's not the moderator anymore. I think Sammy Pease is moderating this panel, but Rob is on the panel for Gambling Twitter on Friday. That should be fun. So we'll have Bazzola in here tomorrow from the Hammer Network. He gave us a play on, I think last year when everybody was so high on the Lions, he was against them. That's what I remember from it. So we'll talk about his panel. We'll talk about some of the stuff that he's working on and his thoughts on Bet Bash as well. Also on the show tomorrow, in addition to Bazzola, Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports will be in studio. And then, of course, my mishpucha, Chrissy Anders, as well. So everybody in studio tomorrow. Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us for two segments from San Diego. By the way, Wes Reynolds, each and every weekday, host of VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns. Is Eumanns in San Diego? Are you both in San Diego at the same time?
We are both in San Diego, and you actually mentioned Sammy P doing that Bash panel. Caught up with him this weekend.
Oh, no, everybody's in San Diego. How about that? 9 p.m., 12 a.m. Eastern for VSiN Tonight every night on the network. Wes, before we talk about your college football, Wyatt Tomchak has a very biting question for you. Wyatt?
Wes, big card on Saturday, SummerSlam, Detroit, Michigan. Hopefully you watch, but what was your favorite match of the night?
I actually did not get to watch, Wyatt. I had to just follow the results, unfortunately. We were out and about here in Del Mar and having a good time. But that main event, though, did kind of rub me the wrong way a little bit. It's like, okay, we're just cycling back stories now. The one brother turns on the other brother, and it's like we've seen this about three times already.
You know, Wes, I gotta stop thinking that The Rock is going to come back. Because every time I'm sitting there for a match, I'm like, okay, he's going to come out. And then the show ends and I just leave just disappointed.
Right.
It's terrible, Gil. It's terrible.
I love how you took the risk that Wes had seen it. Wes is like, I didn't watch SummerSlam. We gave it a shot, yeah. Wes. We thought you'd be.
That's what being a pro wrestling fan is like. Yeah. You're primed for disappointment, and you get it regularly.
All right, let's get to your college football. Again, the college football guide is out. It's been out since Thursday. Hopefully, folks are getting that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's such a great job by Eumanns and Adam Burke and crew and everybody who contributed. You contributed as well, Wes. I want to focus on the grid at the beginning where 18 folks give all of their picks per conference. And then, of course, the college football Final Four, as well as Final Two and Champion. Your Final Four was pretty fascinating. In addition to Georgia, you went Clemson, Penn State, and LSU. Give me the case for each of those, if you would.
Yeah, I will give the case for Penn State first, because they're the third choice in the Big Ten, like they always are, behind Michigan and Ohio State. We know Michigan has the easy non-conference schedule, and they've won the Big Ten, and they've beaten Ohio State 2 years in a row. We also know that Ohio State, probably guy for guy, might be one of the most talented rosters in the country. But I do like Penn State. I think Penn State and Michigan have at least narrowed the gap with Ohio State. Player for player, Ohio State still probably has the dude edge, if you want to call it. But I like the way Penn State finished last year, because if you remember, they got beat down pretty heavily by Michigan. Now, they led Ohio State in the fourth quarter, and then it just kind of fell apart. But I think that Michigan game might have sent the light bulb off in the program's head, and perhaps James Franklin, the head coach's head, that we got to be a little tougher. Yeah, we got to be skilled, and we got to be fast, and we got to be athletic in this modern era of college football. But we need kind of some old school Penn State Nittany Lion toughness like they used to have on the football field. And they really showed that toward the end of the season, and especially in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Because if you follow Utah and Kyle Whittingham, their head coach, you know that that team hardly ever gets out tough. And they absolutely did by Penn State. So I thought, okay, they've got something to build on this year. They've got a five-star quarterback in Drew Aller, who was Mr. Football in Ohio. They finally get some continuity with the coaching staff, because they've been switching offensive coordinators like every season. Mike Rich is back. But Manny Diaz, head coach of Miami, and Penn State, and in about every major defense last year, they bring seven starters back. They bring their running back tandem that had about 2,000 yards and 20-plus touchdowns back. So the personnel is there. Now, they got to identify who that go-to receiver is. It might be Dante Cephas out of Penn State, but yeah, I'm very high on Penn State this year, certainly higher than a lot of people in the market.
You're a Cade Klubnik guy at Clemson?
Yeah, I think he'll be okay. Clemson, I don't think that they've fallen that far off the grid, maybe as we think. The recruiting, I think, has just been slightly down, but slightly down at Clemson means you're still one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country. They're just not up there at number one with Georgia and Alabama and Ohio guys. But yeah, I think Klubnik will be fine. And I think Clemson's defense will really be good. And I think that the offensive line now, that was kind of a group last year, a lot better this year. So they'll be able to run the ball, and that's going to obviously take a lot of pressure off Klubnik. So Clemson was kind of like within that group of like three other teams, Gil, where I could make a case for Clemson, obviously either one of the Big Tens, and then USC as well.
All right. Well, I saved the best for last, because not only did you have LSU getting to the Final Four, you have them winning it all.
Yeah, I do. I really like, I think the second year with Brian Kelly, you know, because that seemed like such a wacky hire, if you want to call it. It's like, well, I don't think he really fits here in the SEC, but they're kind of figuring it out. They're starting to recruit well. They have Jaden Daniels back at quarterback, who is the Arizona State transfer. If he goes down, Neusmeyer played in the bowl game where they absolutely crushed Purdue 63-7. So that just the talent is there. And I think, you know, the first year you're losing, you're learning rather new schemes on both sides of the ball. And yeah, I'm very high on LSU. I think Alabama, now maybe I'm, you know, projecting their demise a little bit too quickly and Nick Saban gets that little sinister grin, but I think Alabama's kind of come to the pack in the West Division, especially towards LSU.
All right, Wes, really appreciate you taking time. I know you're on vacation. Safe flight. We'll see you back here tonight.
You bet. Thank you.
Wes Reynolds, co-host of VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns. Again, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, each and every night, each and every weekday night, I should say, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Want to close out the show with a few regarding everything we talked about on the show. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad, just be funny. Phil Weiss at NoFilter37. I can see he doesn't have a Strider bet. He said, hopefully Strider goes 4 1/3. Yeah, 4 1/3. K's 10 and gives up 6 earned runs. Full disclosure, I'm on Blake Snell. Yes, of course you are. At 60-1 and 32-1. Spencer Strider does, for those of us who do have Spencer Strider tickets to win AL Cy Young, the only thing of concern, he goes, and obviously we're more in analytics here than most are. You would hope baseball award voters would be too. But ERA still seems to matter to these folks, and 3.61 is just a shade too high.
I will say, Gil, the last couple starts, he's been really, really good. I mean, he's limited. Yeah. The long ball's the one that's been really hurting him. Last two starts, I think he's been on his game. Best he's been all year.
He had a couple starts before that, though, where they just left him in just a little too long, and then that third time through, he got dinged up. Michael Lafon, 10, that guy was right. I think he's talking about Aaron Schatz. That guy was right about the Cowboys. They're going to play offense like the Chiefs. In the 90s, he says, that is where Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer were. Bet high rushing totals, low passing yardage, big turnover margin. Big turnover. I guess he means to the negative. He was killing the Cowboys there. And then Tom F. at T-for-3, literally sitting on the dock of the bay, listening to Gil and Aaron Schatz. Great show, boys, other than the Cowboys love. LOL. Yeah. I would imagine of all the things he said, that was the one that was the most recoiling for folks. Though there's a lot of Bears love, again, anecdotally throughout the offseason, where people think the Bears are going to be really good, and Aaron was quick to throw cold water on that as well. For me, the most controversial thing he said, Browns to win the AFC North. And I get it. I get the reasons why and the whole, do we believe Deshaun Watson on the bigger sample size or the smaller? But the Bengals, man, short of injury, and again, Joe Burrow seems to have avoided the worst. It might be the cream of not only the division, but maybe the conference and the entire league as well. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.